CBSi in the World. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with Professor Hussam Mahmoud of Colorado State University, who, with his colleagues, have developed a model for communities to anticipate what would happen if a wildfire breaches from the forest into the town. Mahmoud, Hussam, what you said was most inviting to me because I've seen overviews of Maui, and it's like a tornado. It comes through the community. On one side is burned and the other side is not. Is that a way to talk about how fires act, and you go back and you look at the house that burned and you look at that didn't and you look at the wind conditions? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, exactly. And of course, if the problem was easy, John, we would have solved it.
Right.
By we, I mean the entire community by now. It's not easy. So it's not intuitive for you to look at a burned community and think, why did it burn this way? People who have experience can kind of get an idea. This must have been the wind direction, or this must have been why it did that. But it's really very difficult to tell. So the model we have, we're able to actually provide information on the location of every building, the location of vegetations, the type of materials used in the buildings, the type of vegetation. And then we overlay on top of that the wind speed and direction. And then the model calculates through different physics-based fire propagation mechanisms, including something called radiation and convection and the embers where they land, we're able to tell which homes will likely burn or not. And that's what we did for Lahaina. That's what we did in Maui. And that's what we've done for other communities. And to your question, what happened in Maui seemed strange in terms of some areas didn't burn at all. Some areas completely destroyed. But if you actually look at the results, well, the model says it's predictable. That's the good thing about it. We can predict the likelihood of damage. If we know where the ignition is going to be, because it's primarily human activities, let's say, or power lines we know they run, we can actually put in the model the likelihood ignition locations, and the model will tell us, here's the fire boundary, here's the likelihood of damage to every home. So we can do that for many communities, and we've done it before.
You write in your Nature magazine piece, which is an overview, that there is something that can be done immediately. I understand about removing trees from too close to buildings, but you talk about hardening communities. Does this extend to recommending communities that buildings are removed, that there are certain buildings that are more likely to burn, and that the community must rethink itself in light of the fact that wildfires are more common, not less common, for the balance of this century?
Yes, unfortunately, but also fortunately, again, because we know we are able to predict now with some high level of confidence what would happen. But you're exactly right. And we need to move away from the idea of thinking, I've hardened my home and I'm done. Because you might have spent the money to harden your home, but at the end of the day, your home will still burn because everybody around you didn't harden their homes. So with our models, we were able to tell two important critical things. First, which homes should be hardened and which vegetation should be removed, but also the minimum number of homes and vegetation that should be hardened and removed for you to make a difference. So if hypothetically a community has 100 buildings and only 5 people or 10 people hardened their homes, the model can tell us, well, that's almost a complete waste of money. But the nice thing is that the model is able to tell you, here's the minimum number of homes and here's where they are in your community, as well as the vegetation, that if you remove them, you'll reduce the risk by, let's say, 50% or 40% or 70%, depending on your budget and what you want to do. So it's because it's a network problem, because the fire goes from one vegetation or house to another and it translates or transfers as a network. We can no longer think of homes as in an isolated sense. We are a connected network. Some homes transmit the most, some homes receive the most, and we have to understand which ones are these, so that we're able to harden properly at the right location with the right budget that we have.
So this is a community solution. This is a regional solution, because if you can stop the fire from overwhelming one community, you can save another one. Am I saying that correctly?
Absolutely. And the main problem now with the policies we have, you hit the nail on the head. The main problem is right now it's voluntarily. So I tell you, I mean, the county or the city says, please harden your home and remove vegetations. For one thing, there was no ability to quantify what would that do in terms of risk. People have good ideas that, yeah, this would help, but they don't have a way of telling how much it would help. And it's left voluntarily. So if you don't do it, John, and I do it, it might have zero impact on the whole community, including my home, right? So we have to think of it as a community. We have to think of it as a connected network and be able to determine their most critical or important homes and vegetations that have to be considered to lower the risk to everybody, not just to myself.
Your work is extremely exciting. Is it being adopted by firefighting communities? I'm thinking of the people, the people in California. That they have an elaborate operation going on. The apparatus is extremely impressive. But what you're talking about is another level of firefighting before the fire. Are people thinking about that, Professor?
So, you know, that's another great question. We've obviously published the paper in late 2022 that you mentioned, John. We've done other things, you know, including invited talks. I spoke at the COP27 in Egypt and so on. People are noticing the work. And currently, as of the last month, we have been getting hammered by emails from across the Western U.S., Colorado, other states, California, many insurance companies. A lot of people are interested in what we developed. The state of Colorado is now talking to me about things, issues related to firefighting and evacuation also, because you could use this model to determine what the best way to evacuate. So there are a few things that we're considering in terms of expanding the work, but also making our collaboration with communities very useful so that we can lower losses and save lives.
That's extremely satisfying to think that your work is immediately applicable to these fires. Because as you say, as COP27, COP28, COP29, they'll all say the same thing, Professor. The fires are growing, and the communities that thought they were safe can no longer have that confidence. The paper, the essay I recommend to start with, because there are links in it, is in Nature magazine. That's the number one peer-reviewed magazine in Europe, comparable to Science in the U.S. The paper that we referenced was in Scientific Reports. However, all of this is available if you simply start searching for Hussam Mahmoud's name. You'll find all of this online. I thank the professor very much. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.